Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And Sam, another crazy weekend of Barclays Premier League action. I've written it down here.
It's not finished.
9 games, 31 goals, 4 clean sheets, 3 clean sheets, 4 red cards, a partridge in a pear tree, and we still have...
Come on, you Spurs!
Spurs versus Fulham to go tomorrow night.
Can't wait.
I think we've already been spoiled with so much action, and now we have Spurs versus Fulham as well going on tomorrow night. So, looking forward to it. But you're not top of the league anymore.
Yeah, but we...
For now.
Okay, right.
For now.
Wait.
What?
Wait.
What?
Wait. I'm getting this.
Oh, God. What?
This.
Oh, yeah, go on. That's a cool thing. Yeah, go on. Get that.
I'm getting this.
Go on, get that. This is great for the podcasters, by the way. They don't realise that you've just left the screen to get something.
I'm back.
Go on. Show everyone what you bought.
No, you got it.
That I got for you. Look at this.
Look at this.
You can get this in the Spurs shop. This is...
Look how beautiful this is.
You explain it for the podcasters, because they've got no idea what you're talking about.
For the benefit of the podcasters, my favourite thing, in fact, ever about Spurs, whenever I go down there, the first thing I always did in the old stadium when I was little... is look for the cockerel. Like, that was the thing that I always did. The golden cockerel on the roof of the stadium. And obviously now in the new stadium, we sit underneath the golden cockerel in the south. So Lee bought me, as part of my birthday present, a replica.
It's nice that, isn't it?
Of it's the nice golden that. Cockerel. And...
This is not on hashtag ad, by the way. This is not like a Spurs shop ad.
But my point was that, you know, things that are pretty always sit firmly at the top. So we were never going to be at the top by this time today.
Yeah.
However, by this time tomorrow, hopefully we'll be winning and the golden cockerel will be rising to the top.
I happen to have a look forward, as I always do, to the game week 10 fixtures, guys. Welcome to FPL Family Live Stream. This is our game week 9 reaction stream. But of course, as you guys know that are regularly joining us here on a Sunday night, we will of course be looking forward to game week 10. I happen to cast an eye over at the fixtures. You guys are Friday, right? Spurs have got Monday night tomorrow against Fulham. Then you've got the Friday game.
Yeah.
So.
And then the following Monday again.
We could be in a position Friday night, say 10, half 10 p.m. UK time, where Spurs are sitting 5 points
Mind
clear
the
at
gap?
Top of the league. What a time to be alive, South Mayfield family.
Wait, what
a time to be alive.
Oh my God. Also, I've ordered something. I haven't told you yet.
Oh, go on.
I'm not going to tell you what it is.
What is it? Spursy?
No. So somebody said to me the other day that our wall hasn't changed for a bit.
Do you know what? The background here, again, thanks for sticking with us, podcasters. The background here, behind podcasters are like, right, I've had enough. This is all visual. For Christ's sake, say something of value.
Why are they listening to us if they want something of value?
That's absolutely true, yeah. Thank you, podcasters. The wall behind us, you're right, it has been the same since we started, more
or less.
And now,
because
right?
I do a lot of Instagram stories from in here,
and obviously
the official pod. Most of the official pods are shot from my desk over there, which gives you a view of the back. You know when you Google something or you see something as an ad on Instagram?
Yeah.
And then your phone goes, oh, you've watched that whole thing. You must be interested.
Yeah,
Here it is, 20,000 times a day.
You get done by the cookie.
Correct.
Because you know those little T's and C's and you just go, whatever, accept. And then you just get that ad the whole time.
So yeah. I've watched this video on YouTube and gone...
You've been done by the cookie.
I didn't like it. I didn't do anything to it. Didn't touch it. Didn't play it. It just played. And I watched the whole thing because I was like, oh, I like that. That looked nice on our backdrop.
And now you've got to buy something.
3 months later, still being shown this thing. So last night, I ordered it.
Okay. And is it going to go in place?
So by the time, hopefully I'm going to get, so the thing is, it's half term.
Yeah.
So it depends on how long this thing takes to be made.
You're not taking the Champions of Europe down, are
you? That's going in the bin. You're not Champions of Europe anymore.
Come on.
No, we'll move some. It's quite large, but it's going to have to go in the middle of us.
Whoa. By the way, this is an exclusive, guy. I did an exclusive for me as well. This is the first I'm finding out about this the same time as you guys. What?
It was quite a lot of money.
Some big Spurs thing in the middle of the wall.
It's not Spurs.
Oh, what is it?
No, it you'll like it. It will look nice.
Okay, I'm not going to be told this then. I'm going to be in the dark, as usual.
So I'm hoping that by this time next week, the wall will look different.
It's going to look different. Okay, well.
I hope. If I've had time, if the kids have behaved this week on half term, then if it's arrived, I don't know how long these things take to be made. It might take 3 weeks to be made, but at some point,
all right.
Sorry, podcasters,
The podcasters are going, we don't give a damn, Sam. Get on with the game week review, please.
Shut up. Move on. Let's talk game week 9.
Nice. All right. Well, the wall's going to change, guys. I'm finding out about this the same time as you guys are.
It's been the same for a while. Look, it's a picture of me at Wembley when Spurs used to play there.
It has. There's a picture of us with Jules Breach from the first ever FPL show we did from years ago.
Jules and James.
Your Spurs thing, your Spurs sign thing. It's got Kane, Eriksen and Dele Alli on it. So.
And Jermaine Defoe in the 9-1 victory.
Yeah, but that was special, that. That's one of the best games I've been to. Best non-Liverpool games I've been to.
You can't see above. There's a couple of good team or paper things up there. There's a signed Jamie Vardy football up there.
All sorts. I was going to tilt the camera, but I'm not.
Poster from the first fest is up there.
I'm not going to tilt the camera.
Oh my God, that's all going to go wrong.
Anyway, the wall is going to change. Podcasters, rejoice. Don't give a damn. The wall is going to change for you YouTubers. So there we go. That's a nerdy bit of news.
Everyone excited? Good.
Let's bloody talk about FPL sounds. That's what we're here to do. Let's say hello to a few people before we get on with it. By the way, England going to win a major trophy now, of course, because, you know, beating Italy and looking pretty good.
Well, we're not winning the rugby, though.
The rugby, I think, is in the mud, from what I understand.
We lost, didn't we, by a goal? I don't really understand.
I don't understand rugby. We lost, by a goal.
Oh, or a point?
Come on.
Was it a point or a goal?
Please. Even you are not that bad. You know that we lost by a point. Don't say we lost by a goal. You'll have the rugby people in the chat going absolutely mental at you now.
I don't know the rules of rugby. There's been a super chat.
Congratulations, South Africa. If there's any South Africans in the chat, congratulations, I guess. I mean,
here's my new mug.
I don't know. You've got the new mum mug going on. Mug. Look at this. Yes.
For those of you that didn't watch Mainstream Stories this week, I said it was going to make its debut. Here it is.
There it is.
Kids got me this for my birthday last week. Look how beautiful it is.
Another very visual thing. Podcasters don't give a shit. Podcasters. They really don't care.
I've got a new mug. It says Mum and the Spurs badge on it. It's beautiful.
Excellent. Podcasters have all turned off. Thank you, Ken's.
I'm in a weird mood today. Sorry, everyone.
Thank you, Ken's, for the super chat. Ken's Bromsgrove is in. Evening all. Cup of coffee and FPL family. Got season tickets for LFC, and that was one of the most stressful derbies I've been to. Mo was awful, but two goals. Hey, listen, we're going to talk about Merseyside derby in a bit. That was not vintage Salah at all. At all in
Who
that
cares?
Game.
He got points.
He comes up with the two goals, bags a double-digit haul in FPL, and his owners are all over it. But yeah, not a good performance, but that's what he does. That is how Mo rolls. That's the Egyptian king for you, Kens, right? Nigel the Crab with another super chat. Hey, Nigel. Hey, Simon. How are we doing? 70-plus points. Nice, mate.
How many point hit, though?
With Vicario and Madison still to go.
I love that you've got Vicario.
Hope you're well, Bonfields. We're doing well. Douglas Luiz, by the way, has returned in all home matches this season, averaging 9 points a game. Listen, we've just finished watching the Aston Villa game, haven't we? The Aston Villa-West Ham game. A game that I thought was going to be tighter than that. Honestly, Villa looked the real deal. If you weren't sure about it, they looked the real deal. And I have some thoughts based on, not really any stats, but just been watching that game, on how it's even clearer to me now. It's probably, for some of you guys, it's been probably clear for a few weeks, but here I am catching up. It's super clear they're building that team around Ollie Watkins now, to the point where Diaby's actually pushing a little bit wider.
Yeah, gone off Diaby in the last couple of game weeks. Well, I'm a bit annoyed with myself.
It's only because the narrative that I used to talk about was, okay, well, Watkins is the sort of striker, moves defenders around a bit Firmino-esque, it sort of helps Diaby and whoever else is on the other side. Starting to feel like that way of playing is changing, and it's almost like now the supporting cast is there to get Watkins goals. But don't get me wrong, his goal today, Zouma showed him down his left foot, as he should do, and he still spanked it in, didn't he? Absolutely brilliant goal from Watkins.
No right to score from that goal.
No right to score, and it was a brilliant, brilliant goal. And let me tell you, I know they won 4-1, but they could have had more, Villa. They created more, and Watkins could have had more as well. So if you're a Watkins owner, well done on the double-digit haul, but you can almost feel a little bit aggrieved because actually he could have had more. He could have had more, no doubt about it. FPL Diamond is in. How are we doing? Triple captain Watkins versus Luton, anyone? Just saying, Sam. Just saying. I mean, he's on fire, isn't he? He's absolutely on fire.
Do you mind if I open this door? It's not very hot.
Go for it. Yeah, go for it. I sort of feel a little bit... it's a bit of a shame for him that Harry Kane is who Harry Kane is for England, right? Because if it wasn't for him... You'd think Ollie Watkins would be our number 9 going into next summer. But, it's got to be Harry, isn't it, really? Who else we got? Richard Lohman is in. How are we doing, Richard? Very nice to see you. Salah, sublime, but did not captain. Richard, you're not alone, mate. There's no doubt in my mind that a lot of managers will have gone for Haaland this week. I think still it's the right thing to do based on how open Brighton were in that game. But they did a reasonable job, Brighton, in the end. A reasonable job. And Salah... not, like we said before, not a good performance, but still managed to get the two goals. We've got Niall Pettersson in. He's got 65 points already, Sam, with his captain still to play. Son captain, Maddison and Porro still to go, Neil. Love that. That's a hell of a score,
man. I knew I'd regret not captaining Maddison. For those watching my Insta stories this
week. You haven't played yet. You might not regret it.
I do already. I feel like I should have just gone with it because I really wanted to. But yeah. He's only got to get one goal to outscore Haaland.
Totally. Yeah, totally. Liam Healy is in. Hey, Liam. How are we doing, mate? Nice to see you as usual. Liam Healy, our resident Bristol City fan. I noticed that Alex Scott got a start, didn't he? I think he came off the bench. Start, I think, for Bournemouth this weekend. So I had a bit of a little look on him. I think he did okay. But Liam, you can give us your full match report. If anyone doesn't know who Alex Scott is, he was transferred, I think, from Bristol City to Bournemouth in the summer.
He was there for a while as well.
Good player, from what Liam tells me. Not that I'm definitely not an expert in Bristol City, but Liam absolutely is. Goes to a lot of the games. And he was saying Alex Scott is going to rip it up in the Premier League for Bournemouth this season. A bit unlucky with injuries so far, but watch this space, guys. Watch this space. Webby is in, as usual. Webby, nice to see you, mate. We've got Daniel Banks in. We've got Mr. Miyagi is here. Wax on, wax off, Sam. Andrew Smith, are you going to the game tomorrow, Sam? Andrew Smith says?
No.
No, going to the game tomorrow.
I was
Difficult on a Monday, isn't it? Monday night's a bit difficult. Bit difficult.
I'm a bit gutted, though.
Who else have we got? We've got Abdullah Horasi is in, 69 points with Udogie and Madison. Got some good scores knocking about, guys. Some very, very good scores knocking about. So there we are, guys. Welcome to the FPL Family Livestream. This is our Game Week 9 / Game Week 10 livestream. We're going to talk about, obviously, the results from the weekend. We're going to look ahead to Game Week 10. We'll see how our game weeks are going so far. We're going to see how our transfers got. How did we get on with our transfers going into this week? You didn't make any, did you? You rolled this week. So going into 10, you've got two free transfers. I had two free transfers going into this week. And I made a transfer which was thinking a little bit ahead to the future. I did Botman to Gabriel and then benched Gabriel. More on this a bit later on. But it was kind of that. Or I did Flecken to Turner. But because Flecken, I think, was in...
How did you get over appendicitis that quickly, by the way?
Well, I guess you either need your appendix out or you don't
yeah,
you?
And like... I don't understand why they thought... Why did he think that he was going to be out for weeks with appendicitis? I'm so confused by the whole Flecken situation.
I'm not a doctor, Sam. I'm not a doctor, as is well documented. But I don't know about appendicitis. But Flecken got over it. Therefore, I kept him. And I'm glad I did because he got me a 6-pointer. So happy with that this week. Botman as well, in case you guys haven't heard. I'm sure you have. But it looks as if he's going to be out for a little bit longer than
another
we all thought.
Weeks.
Botman. Yeah.
How being a bit sneaky McSneakerson?
Well, he's only really doing what any other manager would do, I think, Eddie Howe. He can't really come out in the press conference and say, you know, look, he's out for a number of weeks. He kind of...
Right. He did that today or yesterday. So why didn't he do it on Friday?
I don't know. Well, before the game, was he a bit like, I don't know what he said. Did he say late fitness test? And that maybe sort of throws a bit of spanner in the works for the Palace game. Yeah, so Palace are maybe thinking, well... Are we playing Newcastle with Botman or without Botman? And that might change our tactics depending on that, right? It's a bit of mind games somehow, maybe.
I'm also
now
thinking, well, the people that have played him over the next 2 weeks, if that logic applies, he's given them a head start.
Yeah, maybe.
It's a bit weird to me.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, Botman looking as if he is out for, a few weeks, I'm afraid, guys. A few weeks. It probably is a transfer out now, given that the fixtures... do look tricky-ish for Newcastle as well going forward, but more on that a bit later on. Let's get into some of these games, Sam. Let's start talking about the weekend as it was. And I want to start with...
It was a busy day on Saturday, wasn't it?
It was a busy
not
day
had a game
on
like,
Saturday.
Day like that for a long time with 8 games in a day.
Lots on TV as well, lots on TV. And despite the England-South Africa semi-final being on, I did happen to watch most of Sheffield United 1, Manchester United 2. We'll come to that a bit later on. But let's start with Chelsea 2, Arsenal 2, which was a real bonkers game.
I enjoyed it.
It was an entertaining game, but it was a weird old game, wasn't it? It was a weird one. First and foremost, does Mudryk mean it?
Well, no.
100% not.
But Poch says he did.
100% not.
Poch doesn't lie.
No chance. He doesn't even get his... He gets his head up, has a look where Sterling in, and he slices it over the keeper. There's not a hope in hell that he's meant that at all. But he won't care. And Chelsea fans won't care. He's got a goal, so he's happy.
If you're Chelsea, though, I think you're real disappointed.
With what?
This result.
Go on, then. Tell us why.
Well, you don't go 2-0 up at home and feel happy with a 2-2 draw.
Do you not think that they were in a slightly fortuitous position being 2-0 up? Because the penalty...
was a penalty.
Yeah, but it's not a Stonewall one, like our one in the Merseyside derby. It's like a... Yeah, but don't need to roll your eyes. The one in the Merseyside derby, he puts his hand as if he's waiting for a bus to stop and stops the cross. Whereas the Saliba one...
like in the Champions League one.
But in the Saliba one, it comes off of Mudrick's head, I think, and the sort of Saliba's... Okay, his arm's in an unnatural position. I think Saliba's a bit unlucky, personally. A bit unlucky.
Well, no, but what I'm saying is that I think if you're 2-0 up, if you're Chelsea and you're 2-0 up...
Yeah, having been in that position, yes. Okay,
I think at the end of that game, you'd be disappointed to have come away with just a draw from it, because to throw away a 2-goal lead in the way that they did was very much... Is Harry in? I don't want to insult him too much. Was very much...
Probably is.
Chelsea of this season, though, wasn't it? Sort of that... Because I thought bits of this game, it was the best performance I've watched from Chelsea. And then other bits, it was like they forgot again where they were.
What I will say is that I didn't think much of the Arsenal performance for an hour or so. I thought Arsenal they were well off it. And it wasn't until they were handed a route back in by... and Sanchez is getting a lot of stick for... I've got a lot of... I don't know, this weekend I'm full of unpopular opinion. I'll come to the Jared Bowen goal in a minute, which I think is bonkers. But, well, it's clearly an assist. It's clearly an own goal. In this game, Sanchez seemed to be getting a lot of stick. And I'm not saying it wasn't a risky pass out.
Yeah.
But Enzo Fernandez, almost like... doesn't really make much of an effort to get to the ball, and he sort of like lets it run past him as if he's expecting to then run onto it into space, and Rice just picks his pocket. I think Enzo Fernandez is as much at fault for that goal as Sanchez, but Sanchez obviously gets the stick because he's the keeper and it's come from his pass. But anyway, up until that point, I didn't think Arsenal were in it. I thought for 77 minutes they were well off it, Arsenal.
I agree. I thought they just didn't look the same. Like Arsenal this season, every time I've watched them, I've been really impressed. But there's not been a game so far, until this one, where I've watched and thought that Arsenal had been anything other than excellent. Particularly last time round against Manchester City, I thought they were brilliant. And this week, it looked like it took them a good hour, an hour and 10 minutes to go. They just were really off the pace. Chelsea haven't been great. And yet they looked much, much better for large sections of that game. Now, all of this aside, I think the last 15 minutes of the game, we saw the Arsenal quality come through, because once they did get that fortuitous goal, they then really did push.
Could have won it in the end. Nketiah could have won it, couldn't he?
And to be fair to Arsenal, they were the team that if anyone was going to win it at the end, it was Arsenal, not Chelsea. It hasn't put me off, though. That first 60 minutes of that Arsenal performance haven't put me off investing in the Gunners for the fixture run that's coming up, though.
Well, quite right, because if we have a look at that said fixture run, the next one is about as good as it gets right now. In fact, I don't think it could be any more blue on the Fantasy Football Scout fixture difficulty table. Sheffield United at home for Arsenal. Sheffield United, like, just... So poor. And then Newcastle away, which should be a bit of a humdinger in 11, followed by Burnley, Brentford, Wolves and Luton. So some really nice fixtures for the Gunners. Hence my wanting to get ahead of the game and bring Gabriel in this week, ready for that run. Tell me about your Arsenal assets then. So who have you got? You've got none right now.
No.
What are you thinking then?
Well, my plan has always been to sell Son for Saka.
Okay.
/ Martinelli. And I still think that's probably what I'm going to do. But obviously Son hasn't played yet. He's going to play tomorrow evening. If he goes mad against Fulham, I'm going to find that a very, very hard thing to do.
Mm.
Particularly as his record against Crystal Palace, who we have on Friday evening, is so good.
See, that's a nice game as well, isn't it, Mick? Palace not exactly scoring tons of goals and just got battered 4-0.
Yeah, and Son's record against him is excellent. Like, he's really good against Palace. So I do kind of find myself going, oh, I might find that difficult. Investing in the defence is quite easy. I can easily do that for next week. That's not difficult at all.
Saliba or Raya or Gabriel?
Definitely not Raya. I'll be surprised if he even holds his spot.
It was a bit of an interesting performance from him, wasn't it?
I thought he was poor. And I think that's... I thought he was lucky against Man City. He had a couple of real bad moments. That one against Alvarez I'm thinking about in particular in that game. He's had a couple of wobbles in recent weeks, and they've got a really good goalkeeper in Ramsdale. Like, I don't know. Look, I wouldn't be at all surprised if we see Ramsdale get a slot back at some point. But so definitely not Raya. It'll be a straight choice between Gabriel and Saliba. Probably end up going Gabriel just because he's cheaper, and it means that the budget can be spent elsewhere, because there's a certain Ollie Watkins who I need to talk about later who I don't have, and I really need to find a way to have.
Is it even a conversation that I think it's Gabriel. I don't think you even consider Saliba. And that's nothing to do with how good or... Because I think Saliba's Rolls Royce, as you know. But if you can have Gabriel, who's basically the same, for cheaper, why wouldn't you?
Yes, I tend to lean that way. I do really like owning Saliba though in FPL. Yeah. So it doesn't feel quite such an easy thing, because, you know, back at the beginning of the season I was talking about how much I love him.
What about looking left while everyone's looking right there? So everyone's looking at just going back into the Arsenal attack. Everyone's looking at Saka, the assist for the Trossard goal I think is really good as well. But Martinelli's back now. It's being said in the chat, and I think I agree with this, that FPL Diamond's saying in the chat, rather go for Martinelli because he's a bit of a differential now.
I do like Martinelli, and he's cheaper. And
0.8 cheaper than Saka, right?
Yeah.
About that much?
So mine might be slightly less because Saka had a price drop. Yeah, yeah. I think for me, I need to work out what's more important. Is the fifth... Where the budget goes is kind of... It's tough. Basically, I need to make sure that I balance the budget. If that means that the only route into Arsenal is Martinelli, I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. I actually would really like to double up on both of them for this fixture run, because I do really like it. It's a really, really good run of fixtures. Martinelli is one of those players that whenever I've owned him in FPL has always been absolutely brilliant for me. And I thought, well... I didn't think he was particularly brilliant last night. However, I didn't think anyone at Arsenal was particularly brilliant for most of the game, as we've mentioned. So I do think at the price point he is, and given that Saka's not on penalties anymore, well,
he's we don't think,
occasionally
but, you know,
is on
knows.
Penalties, sometimes it's somebody else. You don't have the security of the penalties that you used to. That does... It doesn't make him a bad option. It just tampers my enthusiasm slightly because... As you say, I can go significantly cheaper and have Martinelli instead, which feels an attractive option.
Well, as Gov FPL in the chat is quite rightly saying, there's obviously some European football in and around that Sheffield United game. And given that Saka's been in and out of the team, in and out of international duty, carrying bits and pieces of knocks and stuff, you know, it wouldn't be beyond Arteta, surely, to maybe rest Saka for that game, which feels a bit... I don't know, he doesn't like resting Saka, right? Saka plays. If Saka's available, he plays him, usually. But I don't know, if I'm Arteta, maybe I'd just rest him for that. They don't need him for Sheffield United, do they? They're going to beat Sheffield United with one hand tied behind their back, surely.
Well, they should.
But you think he's going to play Saka, right? You'd still go for him as your option.
I don't think it's as easy as it was a couple of weeks ago. Now Martinelli's back, I think it's more of a conversation.
Okay.
I can see a situation where I have Martinelli over Saka, yes.
Okay. All right, and then talk to me about Chelsea then. So a slightly, in my opinion, dubious penalty. A shanked cross that flew over the goalkeeper in a lucky fashion. A penalty for Arsenal that I genuinely cannot believe that the VAR would look at. Did you see the word Sanchez take out Gabriel Jesus? I still don't understand refereeing in this country. It's still so bad. Like, we'd come to Konate in a bit, right? I mean, lucky boy. We'll talk about that. So this is not me being biased by any stretch of imagination. But Sanchez comes out, misses the punch completely, wipes out Gabriel Jesus, like, at head level, so dangerously. And it's like, not even, like, I don't think they even looked at it. I'm like, what? That's got to be a penalty. It's unbelievable. Anyway, all that's to say, Arsenal were not good this game, but I still think they were good value for the win. And I'm kind of, you know, Chelsea 2-0 up, they'd expect to see it out. Pochettino looks upset afterwards because he's dropped 2 points. I'm saying they're lucky to get a point out of this. But Cole Palmer, on penalties, out of position, midfielder in FPL, cheap as chips. I'm talking you into it. And what's not to like about Cole Palmer right now?
The fixtures.
Yeah, but you know, 4 points something, isn't he? I mean,
yeah, but at the 4 point, you've also got Thomas Suchek, who didn't get anything today. But is an option. And the Scott McTominay down there as well. Fixtures for Man United are lovely.
Gordon as well, pretty cheap.
And McTominay just seems to want to score for fun. And then there's Gordon as well. And then
a lot of these little, dude that scored for penalties for Villa.
Douglas Luiz,
he's there as well, right? Yep. You've got all these really nice cheap enablers now in midfield, right? There's a little slew of them.
So, yes, I take on board what you say about Cole Palmer. I do. I like the fact that he's on penalties. I also slightly like the fact that there was an argument on the pitch about who was taking that penalty. And Enzo Fernandez was like, no, Sterling.
That was Palmer's interesting, it. Wasn't it? That was interesting.
Well, it tells you that Palmer's the one that's on penalties. He's the one that's been told to do it because what the team were following through on.
Wasn't it fascinating that you've got someone that's been at the club as long as Sterling has, yet you've got Enzo and Cole Palmer pulling rank over Sterling? That was interesting, I thought. I don't know.
They've obviously been told, like Cole Palmer has been told, you are our penalty taker.
Yeah.
And Enzo followed it through and made sure it happened.
Yeah.
And because there was a Sterling trying to, not bully, but there was Sterling trying to assert authority, wasn't there?
Yeah.
And yeah, I thought that was fascinating.
The chat's full of them. Daniel Banks, Adringa as well. Absolutely.
There's loads.
You've got York is saying He Chan as well from Wolves. So, there's loads of really great budget options right now. And we'll come to Ollie Watkins a bit later on. But if you're looking to downgrade one of your midfielders to upgrade maybe your Archer or your
whoever your
third forward is to Watkins, you're going to need a lot of money to get to Watkins. He ain't cheap because he's 8.2. So, yeah, these budget midfielders are going to come into our thinking. Absolutely right. Bonkers game this one. Goalkeeping errors galore. And in the end, spoils shared. But I have to say, I thought Arsenal, despite being really bad for 77 minutes, could have and maybe should have won that game. Let's talk about Newcastle 4, Crystal Palace 0. So all of the stuff we talk about with Botman before, if you missed the start of the stream, yeah, it looks as if Botman is going to be out for a few weeks. We don't know exactly how long, but it looks like Eddie Howe's come out and said the injury is a bit worse than we think it's going to be. Even without him, though, Lascelles doing a really good job at centre-half. 3.9, Jamal Lascelles, I think. If not 4 million now, maybe. Super, super cheap. Could be all right for a few weeks if you're planning to wildcard a few weeks from now. The fixtures, again, are middling. We'll talk about those in a second. But what did you make of the Newcastle performance? I thought they were really, really good.
I'm going to rephrase this. I was surprised by how bad Palace were defensively. Because Crystal Palace this season, they've had nothing in the way of going forward. And we've been saying that for weeks. Apart from that one rogue goal that Anderson scored against Man United back in a couple of game weeks ago. So the last 4 weeks now, they've scored one goal. So going forward, we've known that they've been weak. However, what they have been really good at is defending. They've defended really well. And Az and I sat on the Q&A this week and on the official pod together this week, and we both said we could see this game being 1-0 Arsenal. Be quite tight because Crystal Palace...
1-0 Newcastle.
Sorry, 1-0 Newcastle. Because be quite tight because Crystal Palace are good defensively, but that Newcastle are too good a side not to win the game. I did not see a Newcastle riot coming in the way that it did. And no. I think in part it came because the goal came quite early, that first goal. And I wonder whether that just unsettled Palace... Because they would have looked at that and gone, we need to keep it tight. 0-0 all the way.
4 minutes in, bang.
Because we don't have the goal-scoring threats that maybe some other teams do. After 4 minutes, you're 1-0 down. And if you're a defender, you're looking around that pitch going, who in earth is scoring a goal for this team right now? And it's problematic. And they struggled for the rest of the game. And everything that was good about the Newcastle moves was Trippier involvement. Everywhere you looked... Yeah. There he was. And as
him providing the width that side and Gordon providing the width the other side. Lethal. Really good. Palace were bad, by the way. Let's not sugarcoat it. Palace
were bad.
And they've got Arsenal coming up next, which is why I'm not at all worried about... No, they haven't. Have they got next, Palace? We had a look at this a second ago, didn't we?
They've got us on Friday night.
Oh, it's you lot, isn't it? That's why, yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. So that's why I'm not worried about my Madisons and my Poros and my Udogis and why you've got the dilemma about Sun. Because Palace are not great at the minute. Of course, they've got players coming back. Eze and Olise will be back soon, I guess. But You're right, they just couldn't handle Newcastle. Everything that they did that was good was coming through either Trippier on that side, Gordon on the other side, Jacob Murphy.
The way that Newcastle played is exactly how you'll see Spurs try and play, with the attack in the width from, in our case, it would be from Porro and Udogie, with Maddison causing drama. Like, I think it will be a difficult game for them against us on Friday evening. But Newcastle were great, and Trippier was fantastic, and not owning him hurts. But
has the ship sailed, though?
No. So we say this a lot. We talk about this a lot. And the reality is that, yes, it might have in terms of clean sheets, but if they're going to play like that, he is going to get attacking returns.
Yeah.
Like, he's suddenly back in that attacking vein that we saw before. Like, Jacob Murphy, that was his first start of the season, I think, came in, was fantastic. Obviously, Isak hadn't trained. Again, that was something else that we were kind of unsure about going into it. Howe was quite protective of his press conference this week. Callum Wilson, I thought, did a good job. Gordon was excellent. And again, you know, goes back to what we were saying about those midfield, those cheap options. He was really, really good in that game.
He's going to play for the foreseeable as well because of the Harvey Barnes injury,
absolutely,
right? So
Harvey
I
Barnes
like him,
January.
Gordon. I think Gordon's a great pick.
So Gordon's cheap. He's a great enabler. You've got, and I, you know, I still think, look, Trippier got, what, did he get 12 or something like that in the end?
Yeah,
I'm not sure. But look, I don't love the fact that my defender only got 6. However, he did get 6. So it's kind of one of those things that, and you know, in FPL we say it all the time, right? You cannot, and this season in particular, you cannot have everybody. Mm. There's not a way to make your team balance so that you can get every single player that you want to have in it, because you just don't have, one, the slots. Mm. Like, physically, you have 15 spots in your team. Even if you had an unlimited budget, you still couldn't own all the players that we want to own right now.
We've been sleeping on the Newcastle attack, though, because every week we talk about how good defensive they are. I'm sure I saw, and somebody in the chat will confirm this or otherwise, that they've scored the most amount of goals this season.
They'll be up there with Villa.
I'm sure I saw they've scored the most amount of goals this season, or maybe it's XG or so, I don't know, but somebody will tell me. We're all sleeping on them because we're going, well, you can't pick Isak or Callum Wilson because you don't know who's going to start. You know, well, you can't have Gordon because the midfield slots are so,
well, no, I think
so sacred. You can't have Jacob Murphy because he's in and out of the team, whatever. We got to be looking at these guys now, surely.
No, but to be fair, I think we did a few weeks ago. We all looked at Anthony Gordon, and then he picked up the 5th yellow card and was suspended at the time. Yeah. When most people, I remember you talking about getting him in, and I nearly brought him in on wildcard, but he was suspended, and I had other things, I had other issues, and I wanted to make sure I had a playing team, and I didn't do it because of that one fixture. I think with players like Gordon, though, it's not too late to do that now. You've got until January when Harvey Barnes is back, and even then, if Gordon continues to play the way that he is, Harvey Barnes is not coming straight back into that team.
Let's have a look at these Newcastle fixtures. Are they as bad as I make out? Well, Wolves away next, so no. Arsenal at home, Bournemouth, Chelsea, Man U, Everton. I mean, you know, you'd put Chelsea and Man U on there in most other seasons and go, wow, that's difficult. But
I'd expect Newcastle
to win
those games.
Is it at the minute at home to Chelsea and Man U?
I'd expect Newcastle
and then
to
like
win both of those.
Bournemouth
two.
Away, Everton away.
How? All right, I mean, let's look at it another way. How many of those games do you not see Newcastle winning? Because for me, it's only the Arsenal game.
Yeah, and even that's at St James. They're good at St James's, you know.
And that doesn't mean I don't think they'll win that game. It's just I don't think that that's a dead cert that they win that game.
Yeah.
The others, I look at all of them and think they feasibly win every single one of those fixtures, including the game against Manchester United and including the game against Chelsea. Now,
even if you say, okay, well, let's go for the Newcastle win, but don't keep a clean sheet, so I'm not going to get Trippier. Trips is turning over the bonus like you wouldn't believe.
Well,
he only needs, you know, he can get an assist and not a clean sheet,
yeah,
and he still grabs a couple of bonus.
Because his involvement in play is so, so important. The way that his pass completion rate is excellent, his just touches,
chance created.
Everything is great.
Yeah, yeah.
So he will. Anything that he registers, a clean sheet or an attacking return, and he is likely to pick up bonus points. So it's one of those players, though, that I think, you know, going back to what I was saying before about you can't have everyone even if you had an unlimited budget. We don't have an unlimited budget. We have a budget. So if you want to have Haaland and Salah and you want Saka and you want Son or you want Madison and you want to play Watkins up there as well because he's expensive and maybe you want to keep Alvarez, suddenly you're looking at a team that, unless you're happy to have multiple 3.9 million defenders,
yeah,
you are struggling to have Trippier. And that's the slot I'm in right now, is I'm looking at my team going, okay, I do really want to have Trippier, but I also really want Ollie Watkins, and I cannot afford both of them. So there has to be a conversation that says, well, which of those two options do I want to risk not having?
Okay, all right, yeah, plenty to chew over at St James's Park, plenty to chew over. I happen to think those fixtures are not as bad as some people are making out, and I think if there's a bit of narrative inside the FPL community about, well, it's Chelsea and Man U and it's difficult going, I think that's just making me want it more, right? Because I just think they're games that they can win. I mean, Chelsea look rubbish, right? And United look rubbish. So Newcastle look
Modric
the real
is on
deal.
Fire now. What are you
look
about?
The real deal.
Modric? Why am I talking about Modric?
I've got no Modric. Idea. No idea. He's not, Sam. He scuffed it. Speaking of teams that look the real deal, Aston Villa 4, West Ham 1, with Luton at home up next. Bloody hell, we need Ollie Watkins, don't we? Neither you or I have got him, have we?
Ollie Watkins is my big regret so far this season, because I had Diaby and I was like, okay, look, I can't. It's very difficult. I didn't want to get rid of Diaby. The reality is, what I should have done on wildcard is made Diaby Gordon or one of those cheaper options, and I should have made Archer Watkins. But I found it difficult because at that point when I was wildcarding, Diaby was playing in a slightly different place. He was hanging off the shoulder.
I still think he's a good pick. I just think Watkins is a better pick.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think that he's a bad option. But and then also, if we are looking at the midfielders, we kind of go, well, look, Douglas Luiz is on penalties and he's cheaper. Oh, yeah. So you do kind of find yourself in a bit of a quandary. Like I just think Ollie Watkins right now is a player that I don't have. And
let's have a look at these fixtures. Let's have a look at these Villa fixtures. Luton at home. I mean, oh my God. Forest away, Fulham home. That's the next three for
and
Villa.
The thing is,
then it's Spurs, Bournemouth, Man City. Okay, gets a bit trickier. The next three for Villa are unreal. If you haven't got Watkins, and I don't currently, for them three, I am behind that sofa every time he gets a ball.
Well, I don't think there's any way I can go into this weekend coming without having Watkins.
Yeah,
and
I
think he, to me, has become more of a priority than owning an Arsenal midfielder.
Well, that's a big shout. So tell me this then. Manchester City's next three fixtures. Man United away, Bournemouth at home, Chelsea away.
No, I won't sell Alvarez if that's what you're about
Would
to
you
ask.
Sell Alvarez for Watkins? No.
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 Did you watch Manchester United?
Yes, I did watch Manchester United, yeah. So you want Alvarez. So you're going to have to somehow get Haaland, Alvarez, Watkins as your front three.
I have to sell Archer. Take some money out. Again, that goes back to the problem I've got with Sonny. I have actually got money in the bank. So I could do Diaby down to one of those budget enablers that we were talking about. And I've got two transfers.
Yeah.
And I could... I have got the money to do that.
But like Diaby down to like a Palmer or something, or a Douglas Luiz.
Douglas Luiz or Anthony Gordon or somebody in that sort of five.
Diaby down to Douglas Luiz doesn't, on the back, and I know this is recency bias because we've just watched the game and he's just got two goals and Diaby blanked. That's not feeling like too much of a downgrade, is it, or is it?
I don't.
I feel really bad there. I feel like I've just broken up with an ex, like with Diaby, because I've been saying how good a pick he is, and I still think he is. I just think if you can take him down to Douglas Luiz, and that frees up enough money to get you part of the way or all the way to a Watkins, then it feels worth it, doesn't it?
Yeah, so I can get all the way then from Archer to Watkins by doing that, and you know, there's other players down there. The McTominay pick I don't hate, because the other thing is that gives me...
McTominay?
Yeah, I don't hate it. The reason I don't hate it is because I won't ever really have to play him, because he'll be my eighth. Well. So he'll always be benched. So going really cheap kind of makes sense, because the problem I'm going to have if I get Douglas Luiz and Ollie Watkins is, again, so then I'm going to have Son, Madison, Bowen, Salah, Douglas Luiz, Alvarez, Haaland, Watkins. Who benches every week? So again, it's that problematic thing. So I'm more likely, I think, to go right down with the fifth, knowing that then I can just go, you're my bench.
Right.
Every week. And I play the others. Because I hate that. It's inevitably going to be wrong, isn't it? Because Douglas Luiz is always going to be the one that's on the bench. Yeah. Can't bench him, can you?
You don't want to bench him for those next
three,
do you?
Home against Luton.
Yeah. Si is saying that he scored, he's returned in every home match so far this season, Douglas
Luton.
So
Lloyd, can't so bench him against Luton, can I?
You can't bench him against Luton at home, absolutely not. What about, we've got to talk about West Ham in a bit, but what about the Aston Villa defence? It's still Matty Cash, isn't it? And you just accept that he's a bit unlucky not to get the clean sheet today.
I played him today, but not because I thought he was going to get a clean sheet, because I also played Jarrod Bowen today.
Yeah.
But because I... Because you always, you never know with Cash. There is always the clean sheet potential, but there's also, more importantly, the attacking returns potential. And when they play as they do, he's always going to be involved in those attacking threats that they have. So, yeah, for me, I am... I still think Cash is a really nice option, particularly against Luton.
All right. And then from a West Ham perspective, let's just look at their fixtures, because they are starting to look good now from game week 10. In fact, game week 10 was the game week at which we go, okay, well, Areola's your goalkeeper now, because it's Everton at home, Brentford away, Forest, Burnley, Crystal Palace, and then the next, you know, what I would call really difficult game on paper is then Spurs away in 15. So for the next few weeks, West Ham looks really, really good. I think you've got to have one or two of them in place. I'm certainly going to be playing Areola for probably all of those fixtures. Mm. You've got Jarrod Bowen in. He is one that I am looking to get in, no doubt about it. Because, again, he looked most likely from a West Ham perspective today, right?
I bought in Jarrod Bowen on wildcard and have not regretted it. This is the first time he's returned for me in a goal that he clearly deserved. And I haven't regretted it so far because, although he hasn't returned the last couple, I've watched him and gone, you've been unlucky. Mm. Like, there's been points there. And with the fixtures coming up the way that they are for West Ham, I just think he's a really nice pick. I think if I had James Ward-Prowse...
There's some assists for JWP and a goal or so over that run, isn't there?
But Thomas Tuchel, the positioning that he's taking up on the pitch, I think is a better option and cheaper than JWP right now.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm obviously looking at Jarrod Bowen, as most FPL managers were. Very, very fortuitous goal today. And I'm completely on my own, and this is so salty it's untrue. I'm completely on my own when I say that I'm certain that was going out for a goal kick, that shot. Like, when it leaves its... I've watched it back.
And I know.
I've been very pedantic about this. Frame by frame, I've watched it. When it leaves his foot... It's heading towards the goal. Then it starts curling away. And as it's curling away, it hits Pau Torres on the knee and then bobbles into the net.
Look,
but if it doesn't hit Pau Torres' knee, that is out for a goal kick, I'm telling
you. 100%. Did you never see that Beckham one where it, you know, went off him and it went out and then it curved back in?
Yeah, maybe.
I have never seen Lee watch a goal back so many times as he did Jarrod Bowen's today. We were watching it on the TV and he's got it on his phone and he's watching it. Like,
I can believe it.
So many times. It's a goal.
It amazed me how little, like, I was like, Lee, you are obviously wrong. Like, there is no one on Twitter saying that's not a Jarrod Bowen goal. And I'm looking at it going, that's an assist.
If you
it's
didn't
an
have
own
him,
goal.
If you had Jarrod Bowen, you wouldn't have even watched it.
No, of course I would. Of course not. Of course not. But I haven't, so of course I did. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, that is an own goal. Tell me if I'm wrong, guys. Obviously wrong, right? But I'm looking at that, I'm going, that is, guys, watch it back. It's a Pau Torres own goal, 100% telling you. But
it's
anyway,
a Jarrod Bowen goal all day.
Anyway, so him definitely on radar. Here's a question for you. Antonio's performance today and the imminent arrival potentially of Kudus in that team and whether he is worth a punt, and it would be a punt at this stage, I think, over that run for Kudus to come in your team.
No, I don't think you punt.
You don't think so? You don't think so? Okay. Just putting it out there because I didn't think Antonio covered himself in glory today.
No, but...
Didn't like the performance much.
No, but also... we've just spent all that time talking about Watkins and Haaland and Alvarez.
Yeah,
front three's difficult. Do you want to add a punt in there? Not really.
Yeah, okay. All right, just thought I'd mention it. All right, let's I'm not going to go for Kudus. Liverpool 2, Everton 0. Let's go all the way back to Saturday lunchtime again.
And, of course, West Ham playing an Everton side that will be without Ashley Young.
Yeah, not that that's a big problem for them, because
it's just a player that they'll be without. Another one.
Well, you know what? When after he got that first booking, in my head I was like, just get the ball to Diaz. Just get the ball to Diaz. Because Diaz had already done him a couple of times that game. And then the third time that he'd done him, he got fouled, got the yellow card for Ashley Young. And then a few moments before Ashley Young gets the second yellow card, Diaz gets the ball and he's facing him up. And I'm just like, just go past him, Diaz, because you're either going to go past him and he's going to let you and you can get across him for a goal, or he's going to foul you.
Mm.
Just don't stop and pass it back, Diaz. Just run past him. And he did, and he fouled him, and he got the second yellow. He absolutely had him on toast, Diaz. To be honest, it completely changed the game. It wasn't a particularly good game anyway. Then the sending off happens. Everton struggle to half-time. They take off two forwards, bring on two defenders. They park the bus, and it's just, in the end, it's just a crap game. Liverpool get the win because of a dubious-looking penalty. I have to think it was a penalty. And then a 97th minute, another goal from Mo, right?
But you were damn lucky not right. to be down to 10 men yourself.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it. Tell me about
because
it.
I don't understand. Oh, yes. I still can't understand, and I've watched this a lot of times, how Ashley Young's is a second yellow, and that isn't.
Yeah. Oh, don't get me wrong. We talk every week on here, and I'm very vocal about how crap the refereeing is in this country, and they got another one wrong there.
And Klopp knows it, because immediately he subbed him off.
100%.
Klopp's like, the ref's had a stinker, get off before he takes you, because he's going to realise it in a minute, and then the next thing you do, you're sent off.
All that Konate would have had to do would be breathe on somebody, and he'd have been sent off. So correct. Klopp was like, I've got away with that, get him off. 100% agree. Again, it's one of them. It's just the ref's just got it wrong, hasn't he? They've just got it wrong again.
But let's talk about the main man.
Go on then.
Tsimikas.
Love to. Love it. Love it. Go
on. Took a price rise. It's going to cost you 4.5 now.
Mo Salah.
I don't talk about Salah. We'll talk about him in a minute. We've got to talk about the main man first.
God.
Tsimikas. The man is a legend.
He just got a clean sheet. 61 minutes he was on.
Look, it doesn't matter. He got a clean sheet. He absolutely was legendary while playing.
By the way, because
I love him.
Anybody thinking, oh, well, he come off early. He comes off early in games and maybe, you know, he might not be a 60-minute man. That was tactical, right? Yeah. Everton down at 10 men. He's got to get Tsimikas off and he's got to get another forward on. It was a tactical thing. I think that he'll play majority of games.
And he takes corners.
Yeah.
And he gets involved in the attacking play. I love the Tsimikas pick.
Right, okay. Is he going to be another one of these bargain bucket defenders you get in to fund your Watkins move? Is this where this is going?
I mean, look, you know how much I love Tsimikas. This isn't a new thing, by the way. I've loved Tsimikas for years.
You have, yeah.
I've just got a thing about him.
I love him, sorry, he's great. But he can't defend, but he's a nice guy.
He's the happiest man in the world. And I love the happiness that he makes me feel happy every time I see him.
Yeah.
So I would like him in my FPL team.
All right.
But also because I think the Liverpool fixtures are really nice. Now, you've been... let's say this politely, a bit crap defensively so far this season. Up until this game, one clean sheet, and it was weirdly against Aston Villa, who score against everyone else.
All right, okay.
So defensively, you've struggled, but this game looked better. I think it was because Tsimikas played. The fixtures moving forward look like...
Did you say we look better? I mean... It's Everton, and they were down to 10 men. And they parked the bus and did not have any attacking intent. I mean, the clean sheet was locked in from 30 minutes in.
Fair enough. But the teams that you've got coming up are a bit more like Everton than they are against some of the teams you've played already so far.
Well, let's have a look. It's Forest at home next, Luton, Brentford. Then it's that City game in 13, Fulham and Sheffield United. So the run does look good. You're right.
There's clean sheets there for Tsimikas.
Yeah.
And there's some attacking threat there. I think at 4.5, he offers us... the route that we didn't have to easily own a second Liverpool player. Because Mo Salah, we'll come on to him in a minute, is the obvious pick. Outside of that, it's been quite tough. Not necessarily because there hasn't been other players that you might have wanted. You've got the Darwins and the Luis Diazes. But they take up those positions and they're expensive. And they're difficult to fund when you're talking about the Watkinses and everybody else that we've mentioned so far on this stream. Whereas Tsimikas, at the price point he is, he offers you... the clean sheet potential. He's cheaper than Alisson for that perspective. Although he doesn't necessarily have
any defensive ability. But
shut up! Don't you dare speak about Tsimikas.
I tell you what, I'm so biased here, aren't I? The whole FPL community are going, what's not to like, Lee?
We'll
get some clean sheets, attacking potential.
Scored
in 4.4.
The winning penalty for you
worried about?
Final.
And I'm sitting there going, I've watched this guy week in week out. He can't defend. His positions, he's so...
What's different about
but
that?
What I need to do is just be like, get over it. It's still a good option FPL. Stop looking. I'm overthinking it. Because actually, he's a good option.
He's a great option. He's a great option because the clean sheets look there. The fixtures are there for the clean sheets anyway. And he's on some set pieces, which is what you really want from
Delia's
your team.
Delia's in tonight. She's saying, you convinced Az to get him.
Did he do it?
Did Az get Tsimikas?
So he did tell me on the stream that he was going to do
You've
it.
You've not got him and Az did.
No, because on the Q&A, I was so... So I was telling everyone about how Tsimikas, how I call him my spirit animal and how much I love him and I think he's a really good option.
Rajesh is in. He's saying Tsimikas is the spirit animal we all need.
See? I was on and on about this in the Q&A on Thursday and I did say... And Az was like, all right, I'm doing it. And I didn't know if he actually did. Did he actually do it, Delia? Brilliant. I'm glad because I think he's a great pick.
He's a good
I'm
pick.
I'm going to message Az in a minute.
I just don't think he's
welcome.
Any good, but he's a good FPL asset. I've got to stop saying
I'll message
saying
Az
bad,
and I'll just put, you're welcome. And he'll message me back and go, for what?
Right. Enough about bloody Tsimikas. What about Mo then? Because, Delia is saying, yeah, he did get him. He did
yes,
get him.
Yes, Delia, he did it. Brilliant.
Mo then. Not very good. I noticed...
Okay, didn't have a good game, but I don't think you can sit there and go, Mo is not very good.
That's one of the worst games I've seen him play for Liverpool.
He's still got two goals.
I know. I'm not saying he didn't get any FPL points. I'm saying it wasn't a good performance. And I noticed there was no celebration in his goals whatsoever. Clearly what's happening out in Israel and the area out there, that is affecting him, I think, because he's come out on social media a couple of times and he did a bit of an impassioned speech. He didn't look on it, right? And rightly so if he's been affected by what's going on out there, no doubt about it. So yeah, look, if you captained him, well done. If you've got him, well done, because he's two goals, he's a differential still, because he's not owned by a ton of people in FPL, and he does what he does, you know, a penalty which was well dispatched, a goal which was well taken after Nunes played, you know, Nunes actually had time to consider what pass he was going to play or whether he was going to take it on himself, and bloody hell, he made the right decision, Darwin Nunez, which was incredible, and then put Salah in.
Did I hear you tell me that Darwin Nunez has assisted Salah more times than Mane did?
Yeah, that's a cool stat, isn't it? So there was, remember when Mane was at the club, there was all that thing about him and Salah not getting on.
Yeah.
Well, Darwin Nunez has now assisted Mo more than Mane.
Which is mental when you think about
crazy,
how long,
right?
Mane and Salah
crazy.
Played together,
yeah, totally.
In that amazing front three with Bobby.
Yeah.
And Darwin's only played about five games, it feels like.
But Mo Salah, what we say, so the thumbnail on this video is, you know, how to get Mo Salah. If you haven't got him in your team right now, it's wild card time, isn't it? But if you haven't got your wild card, should you be...
Yeah.
Because he hasn't blanked so far yet this season.
Yes, he has against
Spurs. He hasn't blanked.
Yes, he has against Spurs.
He didn't blank in that game.
Did he
assist.
Get any FPL points
he
in
got
that
an
game?
Assist in
Did
that
he
game.
Did he get any FPL points in that game?
Salah got an assist in that game, just didn't get any
Did
FPL.
Did he get any FPL?
Shut up. Salah hasn't blanked so far this season.
Did he blank against Spurs?
He got an assist in that
game. Did he blank against Spurs?
How would you get Salah into your team, Sam, if you didn't have the wild card right now? Would you be breaking up? Would you be -4, -18 to get Mo in?
Yep.
I think you would, actually. I think I would.
Yep.
I think I would.
I think...
Even when he plays crap, he still gets double pointer. Unreal.
We've hit the point in the season where when you look at the map, go back to the fixtures on the screen for me for a minute, please.
Yep.
When you go to the fixtures again, that Manchester City have.
Yeah.
And you look at them. I think there's only two fixtures coming up in the next few weeks that you would actually want to captain a Manchester City asset, i.e. Haaland.
Well, let's have a look at it game by game week. So game week 10, Haaland at Old Trafford.
I mean, you
Mo
can.
Mo is at home to Forest.
Correct.
So you go Mo.
And also, Saka is an option.
Yeah, yeah.
This week.
Yeah, yeah.
And his son, and Madison, whoever you've got. So
all right.
They're all options.
Let's just do Haaland and Salah.
But Salah is the standout, I think.
Because all the others you can have, but having those two as premiums is quite difficult.
No, but I don't think the option is you sell. So I would not be selling Haaland to get Salah.
Okay. Okay. What about game week 11 then? So Salah is away at Luton.
Mm-hmm.
Haaland's at home to Bournemouth, so you go Haaland. In game week 11, right?
Because you probably play the home fixture.
Probably, yeah. Game week 12, Mo has got Brentford at home and Haaland's away at Chelsea.
You go Salah,
difficult,
I think.
Isn't it? Difficult.
I think you'd do Salah.
Game week 13, they play each other.
That's the week where you wouldn't captain either.
Yeah, Arsenal away at Brentford.
Spurs.
Villa. Difficult week, that, isn't it? difficult.
Who's got
week
a nice fixture that week?
Newcastle playing Chelsea. Quite a game week 13 is hard, isn't it?
Oh, I don't think some.
What about 14 then? Mo at home to Fulham, whereas Haaland's got to play you lot.
Well, they never. It's at them though.
At the Etihad.
I think you still go. You go for Salah.
And then in 15, you've got Mo playing Sheffield United and you've got Haaland playing Aston Villa away. So again, you'd probably go for Mo there, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I think my point of bringing that up was that over the next few weeks, you want to give yourself as many good captaincy options as you can, because the captaincy is not obvious over the next few weeks. Like next week, there are four good captaincy options in Son, in Madison, in Salah, and in Saka.
Yeah.
So you want to give yourself that option and that opportunity to captain whoever's in form. Now, we obviously can't speak really about Spurs because they haven't played yet. But Salah didn't have a good performance in this game, but still comes out of it with two goals. Now, we've seen Haaland not have good performances in recent weeks and come out of it with nothing. I'm being facetious when I talk about that he's blanked once this season. But Lee's right. I mean, he still did get an assist in that game. It's just the goal didn't stand. He has been so consistent in the way that Kane was last year. Not necessarily regularly massive hauls, although they've been coming in recent weeks. But we've always seen that tick, 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 here, a goal there, and then he'd get a haul, and then we'd be back to a couple, you know. Yeah. But it was consistent. And I think that's the thing going forward over the next few weeks, is that you know with Salah that if you pick him, in those games that they've got, you've got coming up, there are absolutely assists and goals and bonus points and all that coming for Salah in those weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think if you don't have him now, what you're going to find is that that hurts you more and more every week. Because he's not...
As more and more people start to put the armband on him, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because at the moment, he's not that heavily owned, and he's not being that heavily captained, because there's been other captaincy options like Haaland, like Son, that you could have gone to instead. Moving forwards, the fixtures are so nice for Liverpool, and his returns have been so good in recent weeks that people are now moving towards him, and he's regularly going to be, one, going up in price, and that's going to be difficult the longer you leave it to afford him.
Yeah.
And two, he's also going to have more people handing in the armband, which means that if you don't have him, the pain of not having him is only going to grow stronger over the coming weeks. So for me, I think if you don't have Salah, this moment, this week, post the game on Thursday night, although he probably won't play, is the time when you need to find a way to get him in your team. Now, I personally, and I don't know how you feel about this, but I wouldn't be selling Haaland to do that. I think there are other ways that you can make your team work. Both of our teams are examples of how it can work to have both Haaland and Salah and still have really good other options elsewhere across the park.
It yes, but you are making a compromise somewhere, right? So I haven't got Bowen, for example. You haven't got Saka, for example. Neither of us have got Trippier, for example. Neither of us have got Watkins. So you can have the two of them, but it does mean you can't have... I don't think you can have exactly what you want.
Well, you
Whereas
know.
If you had one of them... So say you took Haaland out for Watkins, you got like 6 million, you can play, you can do whatever you want with that, can't you? And you'd, you know, the weather, certainly over the next three or four, you'd go, well, Watkins...
Would you do it?
Almost
though?
Better. Well, no, because the EO would just, it just ruin your season if he gets a hat-trick, right?
But, I mean, I've got 2 million in my bank.
Mm.
So for me, like, I look at it and go, I don't think that you have to make that choice. I think you can, if you want to, but I don't think you have to.
Okay.
And I think for me right now, even if it was up to a minus 12, I'd do it.
Oh, goodness me.
I think he's that important in the coming weeks.
All right, well, no moves I would suggest until we play Toulouse on Thursday. And then,
is it home
and then
away? Assess, you know?
It's at home. It's okay. At Anfield against
Toulouse.
Do you think
he's not going to play him?
Hasn't
really been playing
thought
him so far.
Wouldn't have thought so. No. Let's see. Wouldn't have thought so. Sam, we've done over an hour already. What other games do you want to discuss? Let's quickly talk about City 2, Brighton 1. As much about Brighton as City, actually, because Brighton's fixtures, as we know, we've talked about it for the last few weeks. We've been kind of avoiding them, getting ready to go back into them in game week 10, here's the reason we want to do that is because for Brighton up next is Fulham at home, Everton away, Sheffield United, Forest, Chelsea and Brentford. It ain't getting much better than that for Brighton, surely. And despite some of the defensive frailties that we've seen over the last few weeks, surely De Zerbi's looking at that run now and going, that is a run where we're going to want to make a difference. We're going to want to shoot up the league, surely. And I noticed actually fourth for XG underachievers in the Fantasy Football Scout members area. So those of you that are not, if you're not a member at Fantasy Football Scout yet, definitely go and check it out. All the links are in the description below. And as I always say every week, Fantasy Football Scout is the source of information for all your fantasy football needs. We use it here. As you can see on my iPad, sorry, podcast listeners, again, very visual.
We've had to apologise to the podcasters a lot, haven't we?
We have. The podcasters will be leaving in their droves. Sam.
They won't. We'll tell some jokes.
But the Fantasy Football Scout members area, I use it every single week. And fourth for XG underachievers, so those that have been a bit unlucky, is Mitoma. Mitoma with an XG delta of minus 0.48. So a bit unlucky not to have got something this week. If you were going to go into Brighton in game... Well, let me ask you these two questions. Are you going to go into Brighton in game week 10? And if you are, in what way are you going to go in there? Or are you still undecided?
I really struggle with Brighton. I really struggle with them because they're like Jekyll and Hyde. Like, you just don't really know what you're going to get with Brighton. I thought they were pretty poor in this game, to be honest.
City away, come on. But they've lost 2-1 at the Etihad. That's not poor... on any given week, is it? Is it?
I don't know. Didn't like the performance very much.
Alright.
I don't know when it comes to Brighton. Defensively, until Estupiñán's back, I'm out.
Right.
Because I don't think there's clean sheets, even in those nice fixtures, because they've been all at sea defensively. And Estupiñán is the one that offers the attacking threat. So when he's around, I think it's a different conversation because you're investing not just for a clean sheet. Whereas with the rest of the Brighton defenders, I kind of feel like I'd be investing just because I think they might get a clean sheet rather than because I think there's any real justified attacking threat there.
So what about from an attacking perspective then? So a couple of injuries for your radar, guys, if you didn't see or haven't heard. I think Evan Ferguson picked up an injury in this game. Yeah. We'll wait to see what the extent of that looks like. And maybe that makes some of the other assets, potentially João Pedro, potentially Welbeck, a bit more interesting. Didn't Solly March also pick up a bit of a bad one?
Oh, and I was just looking. So Solly March is currently flagged with a knee injury.
Yeah.
Welbeck is currently flagged with a muscle injury.
Well, if Solly March is out, because I need to rewatch it. But I think he went off on a stretch. I think it's quite a bad one for Solly March.
Right.
And if he's out for a few weeks, surely that makes
a Dringer.
An option, doesn't it, on that side? Because he's surely going to be the one that plays. And has looked pretty good. I mean, this is not a player that is coming in for Solly March and we know nothing about him. He's looked pretty good last few weeks.
Yeah, but... Okay. Oh, Az will hate me for this. There are so many good options right now.
Mm.
All these players, we've just spent over an hour talking about Saka's, Martinelli's, Salah. We've not even talked about Son and Madders. We've got Bowen, who we've been talking about. We've been talking about all of those nice cheap options, the Cole Palmers, the Anthony Gordon.
And Adringa's one of them, right?
And then you want to put Brighton in there. And honestly, I feel
who'd
like
you go for?
I feel like Brighton is a punt.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Even with those fixtures coming up?
Yeah, because who? Like, I honestly...
Mitoma's not a punt. Adringo isn't really even a punt. He's guaranteed. He should get plenty of minutes now, Adringo, on that right-hand side.
It's not about the minutes. It's about who's going to return in that team.
Well,
like, and that's my issue with Brighton. And it's been my issue for a while. It was my issue last season when it was McAllister and March and Mitoma and to a certain extent because you never really knew of the three of them who was going to get the points. And I look at it again this season and it's the same thing. So João Pedro, if Evan Ferguson is out, then João Pedro I think is a nice option because he's going to start, you'd think.
Mm.
Puts us back in that João Pedro camp again. Potentially then he becomes a good third option if you don't want to go for a Watkins or an Alvarez up there in three for playing forward slots. I do look at my midfield and go, okay, Adringa maybe, but again...
People are saying in the chat that we cannot pronounce A dringer.
What is it? A dinger?
I've got no idea.
I don't know.
These people must be new to FPL Family, Sam, because...
A dingra, I think.
A dingra.
It's no R after the D.
You guys that are saying this in the dingra, chat, FPL Scoped and others, must be quite new to our channel.
We don't pronounce things right.
I remember saying Henrik Mkhitaryan very wrong for many, many years.
Mkhitaryan? What did you say?
Well, back when we started FPL Family. Say? I just don't know. I just used to say it wrong all the time. I've been mispronouncing Premier League players' names for years, guys. For years. So this is not a new thing. But yeah, the right winger for Brighton looks decent. He looks decent. What about from a City perspective then? I really like Doku, you know. I'm not saying I'm going to go for him in FPL because for all the reasons you've just mentioned about Brighton midfielders. But I think he's going to be a player at some stage. I think once Pep's got his claws into him and has got him working, his footwork is unreal. He's a great little player. Such fun.
The article I wrote for City this week was on him.
Was
and
it?
Then he performed like he did. And I was I like him a lot. I like that.
I think they've got another one there, City.
I don't know. I think I've got two City players in Haaland and Alvarez, and that is more than enough for the way that their fixtures are coming up. But with but look, I can't bring myself, and I know people are doing it, I can't bring myself to sell Alvarez. And what I will say is, having said I won't sell Haaland, and I won't, but if I was going to sell one of them, I'd sell Haaland over Alvarez.
Would you?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Serious?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Alvarez is brilliant at the moment.
Yeah, he's a good player, isn't he?
He's a good brilliant player at the moment.
Yeah.
And I don't think I want to invest any more heavily in Man City because it's the midfielder slots. And I think it's tough because it's Pep Roulette.
All right.
They looked a lot better because Rodri was back, we'll say that.
Well, that's it, Sam. Loads more we could discuss, including the mighty Brian Mbeumo getting
A goal. Farewell to you.
And an assist. I'm still going to sell him, I think. And Flecken getting me a clean sheet. And I don't know how. I do not know how. Who is the Burnley lad that missed that open goal? Is it... here we go. Lee can't pronounce anybody's names. Koliosho, I think is how you say his name. Koliosho. I think that's how you say it. Delia's in the chat. She's saying, I can't...
Delia! Her name is Delia!
I can't even get Delia's name right! I don't know her! Can't even get Delia's name right!
Oh my God! What's wrong with you?
Delia, so sorry. Delia's saying, I'm curious to see how Lee pronounces Szoboszlai. I can get Szoboszlai. I can get that.
Yeah, because he watched the video about Szoboszlai.
Because when he signed in the summer, Szoboszlai was like, Lee, get it right, you prat. It's Szoboszlai.
You can't pronounce your own players' names wrong.
Koliosho, I'm pretty sure, is the Burnley lad who... I don't know, he's missed it. I have no idea. It's miss of the... Have you seen it?
No.
Miss of the century. I mean, oh my God, absolutely unreal. Absolutely unreal how he's missed it and how Flecken's got a clean sheet there, but we'll take it as a Flecken owner. Sam, let's get into... before we do, let's give a quick shout out to all of our patron family. So any of you, and there are loads of you that are in tonight, that are part of our patron community over at patreon.com/FPL family. If you want a little bit more of me and Sam in your lives, then you can come and join us at the... Zoom, the Manager of the Month, or the Ohana tier and get extra podcasts, access to the Manager of the Month competition, or conversations with Sam and I over Zoom about your team. Patreon.com/FPL family. All the links are in the description below where you can find out more information about that. And there is already, I can see loads and loads of names of existing patrons in the chat this evening. So guys, thank you. We love you. Thank you for joining us over on Patreon. Go check it out, guys. Go check it out. Let's have a look at our teams for this week, Sam. So a decent week for me. I'm pretty happy with that. 76 points.
Mostly helped by Brian.
Brian was the man, right? Absolutely the man. To think I was going to sell him coming into this game week.
Flecken and Brian, you were talking about selling both of them. Look at them.
Well, no. I think coming into this game week, I think I said to you, just as the teams got locked in, I said to you, my game week will be won or lost on Brentford. Brentford will determine whether I have a nice weekend or not. And they gave me a nice weekend. It's very good. Thank you, Koliosho, for missing a sitter. Flecken in with the 6 and Bomber in with the 14, which was brilliant. Still got Pedro Porro and Maddison still to go. I have to say, Saturday was a good day. Saturday was a good day. I had Alvarez, I got Salah, Saka even with an assist, Dan Burning with the 6, Flecken and Bomber doing the business. Today, not so good. Not so good. I was 190k at the end of the day yesterday. And then that Villa and West Ham game has killed me a little bit because of Jarrod Bowen's goal, inverted commas. And then the Watkins show, obviously. Diaby getting nothing. Cash is clean sheet, wiped out because of the Jared Bowen goal, inverted commas.
It was a goal!
So, yeah, today, not a good day for my team. But Porro and Maddison still to go tomorrow. So 76, pretty happy with that. Up to 347k. That's fine. I'm happy with that. I think game week 10, 11, 12, do we start to now look at ranks? Do we start to think about where we're at and how we're going to start?
Well, normally.
I think so. Up until now, we've gone, oh, it's too early to worry about your rank.
I think it's quite early.
Do you think?
I mean, because if you think about how, like, honestly, I think the last couple of seasons, people were playing it a lot longer, like all the people that start playing at the season,
yeah,
they're still going. And I think you see that by the fact that your rank's changing by 48% still.
True.
Like,
yeah,
that,
true.
When those numbers start to change from 48% to sort of 10 or 20%, that's when I start to go, right,
yeah,
now the ranks are going to get difficult because yeah, there's going to be less massive gains or massive losses.
Yeah.
I guess that's how I see it.
Yeah. I reckon if the Jared Bowen goal didn't get that massive deflection, and if that was a win to nil,
God,
for Villa,
so bitter.
I'd have the cash clean sheet and no Bowen goal. I'd be all right. I'd be doing all right this week. But anyway, 76 is all good. A green arrow. We'll take it. 60 points for you, Sam. So you've got the Bowen goal in your team. But you have still got three to play. Son, Maddison and Udogie still to go. So plenty of time, plenty of football to be played.
Yeah. It was an annoying one because, like, what's Turner doing conceding two goals to Luton? For God's sake, Turner.
Yeah.
Like, come on. That annoyed me a lot. I can't tell you how annoyed I was at that first Luton goal. And then, look, the rest of them is what it is. Diaby's frustrating me because he's not Watkins. And every time Watkins does something, it hurts massively, the rank.
Yeah.
But like you say, three Spurs players to go in a Monday night game. Oh, God, I wish I was going.
Under the lights at Spurs, yeah, decent game, right?
I might see if I can get a last minute ticket and go with my mum.
Yeah.
Leave you here to deal with kids. Oh, actually, it's only Evie. She's be here on her own. We're not.
I mean,
on
thanks.
Her own.
I go and play five a side on Monday night, but I can not do that if you want to get Spurs. Don't worry, no problem. I'll give up what I want to do so you can get Spurs. Don't worry, no problem, dear.
Great. Cockcon came back again. Yeah, Madison, Son and Udogie tomorrow evening. It could end up still being a really, really good week.
Yeah.
We'll see. It's still not a bad week.
I look at it
and I think, you know, Salah, Alvarez, Haaland. Like, I'd only had five players play on Saturday because of Burn. So, and four of them had returned and I had a massive red arrow and I was like, this is so frustrating. So a massive, massive red arrow.
So what are your thoughts ahead of game week 10 then? Early game week 10, two transfers in the back pocket thoughts.
Well, the plan originally was Son out, Martinelli or Saka in,
yeah,
would be one of them. And then that would allow me enough money to upgrade somewhere else. So
Archer to Watkins?
But not enough money to do that.
Right, okay.
It would allow me to potentially do, like, I could do Burn to Trippier, for example. Or I could do, there's other things that could be done. But now I'm not, well, we're going to see what happens with Sun tomorrow night. I'm not absolutely certain I want to sell Sun anymore. But what I am absolutely certain about is that I want to get Watkins. So Diaby down to a somebody in the kind of 5.5 and under bracket. So a Gordon, a Douglas Luiz, a
Diaby to Luiz, that feels all right, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like much of a downgrade.
Thomas Souček, 4.9. Like, there's loads of them in there that you could go down to. One of them, and then that would allow me enough money to upgrade Cameron Archer to Watkins.
Don't mind it. So you've got a bit knocking about in the bank as well, by the
there's
sounds
a
of
bank.
It.
Yeah, there's a load a in the bank. Because I left the money in the bank to go Jared Bowen to Saka. That was the plan.
Oh, it's right. Okay.
But I don't want to sell Jared Bowen.
You don't want to sell Bowen. I'm thinking about getting him in, if anything.
Exactly. So now I'm like, oh, I kind of got a head on the Jared Bowen thing. Now I don't want to get rid. So now I'm like thinking, well, what am I doing with that money? And the only way to get Saka is to sell a Spurs player. I don't want to sell Maddison ever. The man is a ledge.
Yeah, yeah.
Which means it can only be Sonny. So, Sonny, I don't know. Selling Sonny ahead of Crystal Palace feels like Son's going to be just doing this at me. Yeah. And I'm going to be going, oh, why?
A couple of people in the chat saying that Douglas Luiz is on 4 yellow cards.
He is on 4 yellow cards,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay, that's one to keep an eye on then, potentially. Yeah. I must admit, I'm thinking shock horror in a similar way to you. If I was to downgrade, if that's the right phrase, DRB to Luiz, that would give me enough money to upgrade Mbomo. Thanks for the points, Brian, but he's still going, to Bowen.
So no Watkins still for you?
So still no Watkins. I mean, I'm looking at it and I think my path to Watkins...
is Alvarez.
Is Alvarez. Oof. And I like you, that makes me feel very uncomfortable. Like, very uncomfortable, because I think Alvarez is really good in FPL. I don't want to get rid of him. Mm. To do Archer up to Watkins would mean...
particularly as Man United have got even more problems, because Johnny Evans did a hammy last night,
yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, totally. I think you'd want Evans playing, I think, wouldn't you? If you had Alvarez and Haaland. But
yeah,
anyway,
but who are they going to play? They've got no one else.
For me to go from Archer to Watkins is like 4 odd million or whatever it is. And I've got a bit in the bank, but only like a million and a bit. The RB down to Luiz gives me a little bit more, but I'm still then.
You're still short.
I'm still short because I've got Haaland, I've got Salah, I've got Saka still in my team. Whereas what you're saying is Son to, I don't know, Martinelli would free you up couple of million, wouldn't it? That would be what you'd need to get there, whereas I'm still sitting there with Saka and a bit more tied up in my midfield. So I don't know, I think I still want a bit of Bowen. I still want a bit of Bowen despite him not scoring this week.
Oh my god.
I still want a bit of Bowen in my team.
You're so bitter. Have you been eating lemons today? What's up with you?
I'm gonna go back and watch it again after this. I'm convinced
you've watched it 500 times.
Convinced it was an own goal. So there
send
we go.
Send help, please, guys.
So
send me some help.
552 points. Game week score of 60. Overrank 455k.
Hang on, are you
still
ahead of me?
Yeah, yeah. But you've got some to play. I mean, we've got.
What's the points difference, please? Five. 5 points.
5 points different.
And we've got... I've
should
got...
be more, but, you know, Bowen was given the goal. So you've
What's
got...
What's that song? What, you must eat so many lemons. You are so bitter.
So I've got Porro and Madison, and you've got your doggy, Madison and Son. So it's your doggy and Son versus Porro.
So, you know, it's like Van de Ven, Kulusevski.
Yes, it's like, yeah.
Richarlison yeah. tomorrow.
1-0 Hoiberg or something ridiculous, yeah.
He'd be playing tomorrow.
He probably will, because Biss ain't playing, is he?
But my heart is happy, because Bentancur is back in full training.
Bentancur's back. No, who needs the Bissouma? Who needs him?
I'm so happy.
I'll tell you what, we all do.
Bentancur
he's
is
class.
My favourite player.
He's class.
He's a legend.
There we go, Sam. So, yes, for now, I'm above you, but it's only 5 points. It's still very, very close.
Well, while you're not going to football tomorrow because I've decided to go to Spurs.
Is that right? Yeah, totally.
I won't be able to get a ticket. It's so hard to get a ticket for Spurs this season.
It's hard to get a Premier League ticket to anywhere
we
nowadays.
We used to be able to get them for Spurs. Yeah. Now we're playing well. You can't get them for love nor money.
This is it. This
Does anyone
is it.
Want to send me one?
This is
Let
the Ange effect. Selling out tickets left, right and centre. Sam, tell everybody what we've got coming up this week on all the different podcasty stuff.
What have we got coming up this week?
You haven't looked. You don't
I haven't
know.
Looked because it's half term. So as I will be doing a Q&A at some point this week. I don't know when that is. It'll either be Thursday afternoon or Friday afternoon. Probably Friday afternoon. Oh, no. I don't know because there's the game week starts on Friday.
Don't know.
We might go Friday afternoon and go sort of into the deadline stream. We won't do the deadline stream, but we might lead into it.
Off the bench podcast this week? Either one of us on off the bench?
No, it is Gianni and Praz this week on off the bench.
Excellent.
As usual, on the pod this week. I'm hoping that George will be back from his Olibobs.
I'm sure
and have
he
some
will.
Signal. So he'll
sure
be there
he
this week. As
When's
usual.
Kelly's baby due? It must be coming up soon, is it?
Soon?
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm not going to declare that. That's not my public knowledge to share, is it?
No.
I shouldn't have asked you that question. Not too long
ago. I'm just saying, you've got Jules on holiday. She's about to drop.
No,
might be you on your own.
Oh my God, that'd be terrible. She's back. This week is actually a bit of a quieter one for us because it's half term. The week after, however, bonkers.
Carnage.
Just expect to see my face everywhere.
Absolutely.
The week after.
Not a shock. We're quite used to that, Sam. And we, of course, will have our Ohana podcast back for our patron supporters on Thursday night ahead of the Friday game week deadline. So there we go, Sam. That is it for another week on FPL Family. There'll be some TikTok crap going on. Yeah, without a doubt.
You mostly just pick my stuff up now.
I've started nicking your reels. I tell you what, the people, a lot of love for the old Thursday chat that you do. You know where you just take the questions and you just answer. Brilliant. I think it's great.
Do you know how many questions I had last week?
Go on.
300.
300 questions.
300. So actually, this Thursday's one wasn't so bad because it was coming out at the back of the international break. I had 300 questions.
Can I ask you a question this week?
If you go in there and ask me a question, I'll answer it.
My question will be, was Jarrod Bowen? Was it a goal?
Has Salah blanked this season? Was it Jarrod Bowen?
Salah hasn't blanked yet. So
it gets to a point where sometimes
blanked.
I have to... He has blanked. It was against the Cockerel.
Hasn't blanked.
Yeah, sometimes it's the same question that comes up repetitively from a lot of people. And by the end of it, I can't answer the same question over and over and over and over and over and over. So, but I had 300 questions last week. That's a lot of questions.
So I've started taking your reels that you do. I've stolen them and I stick them on TikTok because they're so good. They're so, so good. As well as some other stuff on TikTok. So go follow us over on TikTok.
And Instagram.
If you want to do any of that stuff. Official podcast coming up this week. Ohana. All sorts of stuff. Guys, thank you for joining us tonight on FPL Family. Leave us a like before you go. If you're new to FPL Family, hit that subscribe button and we will see you, as usual, back here 8:30 next Sunday night when we'll be looking at Game Week 10. And Jarrod Bowen's goal will be classified as an own goal from earlier today.
What is wrong with you, man? Bye, guys.